How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard, and this is a show about pro wrestling. And in the past, you have seen us do rebooks of some of the most notoriously bad pay-per-views or events. But what we're doing today is we're going to take an event that is largely considered to be a good one, and we are going to rebook it in a bad way. We're going to try to make a good event bad. And Leonard, I don't know about you, but I had trouble with this at first because your instinct wants you to like book something cool.
Yes.
Even if it's an unconscious instinct, like I had to go back over it a couple times and I'm like, oh, that's just not bad enough.
I had trouble, and I threw in, and I'll mention these now. We always throw in little wrinkles or details that we have to work with, and I threw in a couple that I think for me made it really difficult. One was you had to use all three of the men's champions defending their titles. So four of the top names going to tag belts, you had to use that. Only two gimmick matches, because it's really easy to just load up on bad gimmicks, but there were only two gimmick matches on the original card. And then there were a couple different six-man tags, so you had to have at least one six-person tag. So those were the extras. But trying to use all the title contenders and only having two gimmicks really made me have to think.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, Leonard had requirements for us, and usually we both abide by them. In this case, I must have had a brain fart and just kind of got deep into my own card. So I have more than two gimmick matches, and I do not have a six-man tag, but I think that my WrestleMania card will stand the test of time. So.
That is fine. Again, but the reason my car kind of looks the way it does is because of some of those stipulations. So.
So we are doing WrestleMania 3, and obviously documentaries and all sorts of podcasts, people have talked about this event ad nauseum, and we are not really going to reiterate anything here that anybody doesn't already know. I was about 5 when this event happened. I am more than certain I did not watch it live, but I did have the Coliseum video and I did watch that on many occasions. I was into it because of Hogan versus Andre. It wasn't until I got older that I recognized just how good of a match Savage and Steamboat had. The rest of the card is kind of up and down to me, but obviously WWF at the time advertised this as being over 93,000 strong. Since then, it's been as estimated that it'll be around 78,000 people attended the event. But no matter how many people were there, if WrestleMania 1 and 2 was the company finding its legs with this big event, WrestleMania 3 was like the pinnacle. This was them really, affirming and establishing that this is going to be the event going forward. And, on Wikipedia, it says this is the peak of the 1980s wrestling boom, which is hard to argue with. So, Leonard, any memories of WrestleMania 3?
Not really. I knew it was going on at the time. I remember being very ex of course, I wasn't able to watch it, but being very excited for the main event, of course, and some of the other matches. So I certainly was watching at the time. And you're very right. This was where they kind of figured out the spectacle and the epicness, and the idea of that this is the Super Bowl of wrestling, where they first figured that out. Because you had the first two WrestleManias were kind of built on a couple of matches, and here you had several matches with feuds and storylines. Everyone remembers Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant and Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat, but you had Harley Race versus JYD, which had a feud, and Adrian Adonis versus Roddy Piper, and Jake Roberts versus the Honky Tonk Man, and the six man tag of the British Bulldogs and Tio Santana versus the Hart Foundation, Danny Davis. So they were building more. And if there's anything you could do, I think, to make it a better show, would be to trim the dead weight matches. Those few
Yeah.
matches that really didn't have a story to them, they were there to be there. If you cut those, this is like a perfect show.
Yeah, and as I'm listening to you there, Leonard, I have made one adjustment just in my head that can help go to those requirements just a little bit. But I have more matches than Leonard.
Yes, and you know what? I'm gonna make two adjustments against what I said too,
All
because
right.
there was two things I wanted to do that I didn't do that I will now do.
All right. Well, I'll give my match here and then I'll say what it was initially.
Okay.
So the first match I have on the card is going to be my six-man tag. So
Okay.
it is Harley Race, Adrian Adonis, and Hercules
Okay.
versus Jake Roberts, Coco Beware, and Ivan Putski in a losers must bow match.
I almost used Putski. I did not, but I knew he was available.
So Harley Race, Adrian Adonis, Hercules, they all come out in, royal garb. I think that in order to make this really cheesy, that's what you do. You have them all wearing something like that. And, all three losers or winners must bow in this. And I think that that would just look ridiculous. This is such a cluster of personalities and talent that there's no way this can be good.
Yes.
Jake Roberts is hot at this time. Obviously, he was with Alice Cooper in his big match against the Honky Tonk Man in the actual card. But yeah, so that's my six-man tag. What I was going to have a loser must bow match already, but it was going to be a tag. And then I was going to put Ivan Putski versus Hercules in a test of strength competition.
Okay.
But we're not going to do that. We'll just stick with my six-man tag. So.
Okay. I like the other idea. I like the test of strength between Putski and Hercules. And here's the thing you can do too with that, even though Jake is pretty hot, is like don't use him. Like he just stands on the apron. Like use the you have Putski work like the whole thing.
So, in that vein, there is somebody on the original card that you would think I would use somehow, and I didn't at all. Specifically for the reason of to not use this person would be ridiculous. But we'll get there. So, Leonard, why don't you go to your first match?
Okay, I've been watching through primetime wrestling from '87, so I have a pretty good knowledge of who was around at this point. And there's a lot of names I did not use, like a ton of names I did not use. But my opening match, and this is going to be one of the adjustments because I'm going to make this a flag match. It's a flag match between Outback Jack and Tiger Chung Lee. So you have Australia versus Japan in a flag match in Detroit where nobody should care about this. Both these guys sucked and were barely on television at the time. I was originally going to use Killer Khan, but he actually has a really sweet looking top rope knee drop for a finisher. So I went with these guys here, and I think Jack is worse than Tiger Chung Lee, so I'm going to give Outback Jack the win.
That is absolutely a bad match. I did not use either of those guys. However, we will let's just say we were thinking along the same lines, but mine's not
Okay.
yet. So, but I like how bad that is. That'll be the compliment going forward. So my next match, you talked about how all the men's titles need to be defended. Well, you know what, Leonard? I went one up on you there. I have all the titles, period, defended on this. And
Because when I was looking through, I saw about the women's belts and went, oh, well, you don't need to defend the women's belts, but.
what you do if you're making the card bad. So
Okay.
we're going to have the Fabulous Moolah versus Donna Cristinello for the WWF Women's Championship. In reality, Donna Cristinello was trained by a Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah.
If anybody out there, save for Leonard, knows who Donna Cristinello is, I will be shocked because I guarantee the people at the Pontiac Silverdome had no idea who she was. So,
No, I mean I know who she is. Again, one of the girls that Moolah trained, one of the girls that the WWF were using at the time, basically it's sort of like a filler. I mean, she mostly I probably did house shows, but yeah, I mean that is just it would be probably a competent match for the time, but a match that no one cares about.
absolutely. So, Leonard, you're next.
Yeah. All right, I've got the British Bulldogs of Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy Smith versus Dangerous Danny Davis and Mr. X, who is Jack Kruger under a mask. And you probably just said, who's Jack Kruger? Well, I will tell you. So I'm trying to book with a little logic here. So Danny Davis was suspended as a referee and became a wrestler thanks to screwing over the Bulldogs for the tag team titles and Tito Santana for the IC belt. Now, some know this, but before this angle, Davis was wrestling under a mask as Mr. X. So the Bulldogs accused him of being Mr. X and double dipping while still as a referee and being against guys, you know, as a wrestler. So Davis refutes being Mr. X and produces him as his partner. The Bulldogs win, and they unmask him, and it's Jack Kruger. And the crowd goes mild. Kruger was a jobber wrestler who became a referee. I believe he directly replaced Davis, and he did work as a referee here at WrestleMania 3, the real one. So we have a referee that became a wrestler and a wrestler that became a referee.
That is going deep into it, because the roster, if you look it up, Danny Davis is there. But mm-hmm. Jack Kruger, Mr. X, is not. So
yes, well, Mr. X was a Danny Davis character before he started wrestling with Danny Davis, and then Jack Kruger was a jobber who became a referee. So I don't know if the referees were listed.
So that's why I like this, because you know you're going on tangents that I never would have thought of. So
I'm going deep. I looked at all the personnel. I dang near put Patti LaBelle in a match. Aretha Franklin. Was it Aretha Franklin.
It's Aretha Franklin.
I almost put Aretha Franklin in a match, but I did not.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't use the Bulldogs, actually. And that's not the talent that I mentioned earlier that I hadn't used. But, like, yeah. I thought about using the Bulldogs. But, like, even though at this time Dynamite Kid was really injured.
Yeah.
Not doing well. Like, having the Bulldogs in a match, you proved me wrong. But, like, in having the Bulldogs in a match, to me, I was like, God, like, they're so good that, like, I don't know where to put them to make the match bad.
Right. That was the last match I booked. I went back and thinking, well, I should have an even 10. And I wanted to do something with Danny Davis. And I didn't want to do Davis versus Santana because that's not bad enough.
Right.
And so I came up with, and that's one thing when I've been watching through this 87 stuff. Is that, and the reason that I know Jack Kruger is before Jack Kruger became a referee, he had a match with Kamala, and they actually gave him a promo where he said, "I will never wrestle Kamala again." And then he did stop wrestling.
I need to look that promo up.
Yes, I should find it and show it to you.
All right. Well, my next match is a tag match, and it is the Killer Bees of Jumping Jim Bronzell, Brian Mayer. Versus Lanny Poffo and Danny Spivey, the team of Lanny and Danny. So that is what I decided to call them.
Okay, and I like it.
This is a tag match that I guarantee, you know what, it might not be the worst match on the card, but I guarantee the people involved, people are going to be going to get popcorn or another beer.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a filler match. Now, is Lanny and Danny like Billy and Chuck and Lanny and Lodi?
No, I didn't go that deep into my thoughts on it.
Okay.
I thought to myself, what can I find that's corny? Lanny and Danny. That's what we get. So
good enough.
All right.
Right. I agree with you. Again, not bad, but yeah, nothing that captures my imagination. So next up is I got a match that actually had happened. I've got George the Animal Steel versus Kamala the Ugandan Giant with Mr. Fuji and Kimchi.
Holy crap. I had this as well.
I wondered if we were going to have any duplicates because trying to go bad, that's how duplicates. So, I mean, here's my thoughts. Both guys are big, dumb. They don't know how to wrestle and they don't talk. That's what their characters are. So both are going to get promo time in the back with Gene Okerlund. But this is just a train wreck of a match. It's just two meaty guys kind of smacking each other around and wandering around the ring. And, you know, you would have Kamala splash George face down and get yelled at by Kimchi and Mr. Fuji. So what I think is going to happen is that Kamala is going to get fed up and him and George Steele are going to beat up Kimchi and Fuji. It's going to be a no contest. And then George Steele is going to teach Kamala how to eat turnbuckles.
That sounds ridiculous, and I don't want to watch it. So
yeah. So what was your? So you did the same match.
Yeah, I absolutely did, and it was mine was straight up match. And it's not till later though. So
okay.
My next match, we're gonna follow up a tag match with another tag match.
That's always a good plan.
And it's gonna be Leilani Kai and Judy Martin, the Glamour Girls,
Yeah.
Velvet
Makes sense.
McIntyre and Desiree Peterson in for the WWE Women's Tag Champs Championship. And it's gonna be 2 out of 3 falls.
Oh, God. I actually kind of like Velvet McIntyre. Desiree, I know the name. I really don't know a lot about her. But yeah, because my initial thoughts was, well, if you keep it short, but you're doing 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, we're going 2 out of 3 falls on this one. And here's the funny part. I believe it was the Glamour Girls versus the Jumping Bomb Angels, where a 2 out of 3 fall match actually happened for
That
that
does
belt.
sound familiar. Yes, the Jumping Bomb Angels were
They were
really
good.
ahead of their time. They were
Yeah, they
very
were good. So, but this match would not have been good. And I think
no.
having a tag match followed by another tag match.
Yes.
Gonna,
And this is 2 out of 3 falls with women who mostly just know how to do hair snapmares and
yeah.
lashes, because I think they're all moolah trained ladies as well. So
Right, yeah.
at this point they all have been moolahs. Okay, so here's what I did with the women. So I have the fabulous Moolah and the Glamour Girls of Judy Martin and Leilani Kai with Jimmy Hart, because he was managing the Glamour Girls, versus Little Tokyo, Lord Littlebrook, and Little Beaver. So those were all of the little people who were in the actual part of WrestleMania 3. So I've got the women versus the little people. And I went with because there was also the Haiti Kid, but I went with the guys that had little in their name. And somehow this match ends with Jimmy Hart getting pinned by all three little guys piling on top of him at the same time.
That sounds like it would be halfway entertaining, Leonard.
Yeah, it would be funny in a bad way.
No, yeah. But yes, that would be that is such like a weird combination of
Yeah.
talent.
I wanted to use some of the little person wrestlers. I wanted to use the women, and then that just seemed like that actually seemed like something that Vince would do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because it's taking basically your two novelties. Oh, women's wrestlers and what they would call midget wrestlers at the time. And then let's just put them together.
Right. Well, yeah, no, I agree. I used some of that talent a different way, but
Okay.
no, I'm going to do two matches here since I'm still ahead of you in number.
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead. Do
We'll
two.
just throw out my George the Animal Steel versus Kamala match
Sure.
now. For the same reasons Leonard mentioned, it would not be an entertaining match in any way unless you really amped up the shenanigans with the managers and George Steel eating turnbuckles and all that. If you made it cartoonish, it might be a little entertaining, but that would not be a good match. So my next match is Mike McGurk versus Miss Elizabeth in a hair versus hair. So
I love that so much. Both had fabulous hair.
absolute, both had really great hair. Both were people that I think were actually very nice. So putting them in a feud makes no sense whatsoever. But they were both there, so this is in the realm of possibility.
Sure. I would like to see what the feud would be out of the both of them. And Mike McGurk's dad was a wrestler, so I think so. Mike could probably work a match.
Yeah.
Miss Elizabeth, I believe this. I did have to look this up because I did a fantasy draft once of women, and for them to be able to wrestle, they would have to have worked a match. And Miss Elizabeth has had two matches
Yeah.
in her life because of Vince Russo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. She like at this point, she putting her in a match would be like a like, oh my God, no.
Yeah.
But like at least when she was in WCW, there might be like a little bit of like, well, she's watched enough. Maybe
Yeah. I
she's
think
gonna
one
like.
match was against Daphne, and the other, I think, was a tag match with her and Luger against Daphne, and as probably David Flair. But
Think they're doing a this season a Dark Side of the Ring on Daphne. I could be wrong.
that sounds familiar. I looked at the list, but
Oh, speaking of which, side
yeah.
note, and I'm gonna repost this like on my account, social media
Yeah.
accounts, but like the episode of Dark Side of the Ring airing the week that we're recording this is on Tony Halima. So
Yes.
repost our episode on him.
Definitely. Might get us some more hits. That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. So is it your turn or mine?
I believe you've done what you did to George. Oh, two. You've done two, so it's my
Yeah,
turn again.
it's your turn now.
So again, I dug deep. I'm having a legends match because there are a ton of old wrestlers in the back working as road agents.
Yes.
And those guys are fair game. And the two worst ones I thought I could do, we've got Chief J Strongbow versus Rene Goulet.
Oh my
Nobody's gonna care, and I'm gonna put Goulet over.
Absolutely. They're in Michigan. That's close enough to Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, that God, that's horrible. And I thought about using some of those guys in other ways, and I didn't end up having to do that, but that is just a god awful, like that.
Yeah, and all of everyone in the back, like Pat Patterson and Tony Garea, and some of those guys, you go, they could still work a match, but Strongbow and Goulet weren't good when they were supposed to have been good, so.
That's exactly right. All right. My next match is going to be for the Intercontinental Championship.
Okay.
And it is Randy Savage, the champion, versus Hillbilly Jim. And there's going to be a double turn in this.
Okay. Okay, lay it on me.
You gotta have Savage. Savage has Elizabeth, so you can see that turn coming.
Yeah.
But Hillbilly Jim, he either comes at him with a slop bucket or some sort of farm tool, and he just beats on Savage relentlessly. So it ends in a DQ, which is, a fart in church anyway. But
Yeah.
yeah, so gonna have Hillbilly Jim be the evil farmer.
Okay. I think he should come out with his hair slicked back and then he calls himself Hillbilly James.
James.
But yeah, I could see that being something that you would see like on a Boston Garden show maybe, around
I
this
was trying to think,
time.
who could Savage work with that he really wouldn't have any chemistry with?
I've
And
got an idea, but I'm calling an audible when I get there, but I'm not there yet. So I use Hillbilly Jim as well. My next match for the WWF Tag Team titles, the Hart Foundation of Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and Jimmy Hart's probably still nursing his wounds, but he might be out there, versus Hillbilly Jim and Uncle Elmer.
Oh.
So this is the hardest for me to come up with something because the Hart Foundation, much like the Bulldogs, they can have good matches with anybody, and there were a
Right.
lot of really good tag teams around this time. And Uncle Elmer, who was Plowboy Frazier in Memphis, had gone back to Memphis at the start of '87, but it'd be really easy to keep him around or bring him back for this. So, I mean, not even I would take the belt off the Hart Foundation here, although that's what you would think. But again, if you have Brett against Uncle Elmer, that might be the only dude Brett couldn't get a good match out of at this
Yeah,
point.
no, I that's a good way to use Hillbilly Jim, and having Uncle Elmer come back is also a good play as well. And yeah, that would not have been a good match at all. So Leonard, WrestleMania is known for celebrities,
Yeah, of course.
and although there wasn't, I mean, the celebrities were involved in some of the stuff in the original card, but we're gonna have a celebrity in an actual one-on-one match.
Right.
And it is going to be the natural Butch Reed versus Robert Redford.
Was he there?
No, he wasn't there, but this is the Battle of the Naturals.
Oh, okay.
The Natural movie came out in 84. This is 87. So we got to have we and in Robert Redford's corner, to make it more confusing, is Roddy Piper. Because why wouldn't he be? So,
I mean, Roddy had gone to Hollywood by this point.
yeah.
He had
So,
made They Live. Maybe he's the one who brought Bob Redford in.
you could just picture it. Roddy Piper, Piper's Pit. You call yourself the natural. Well, I've got him right here. He comes out with his bat, You know, that's
Maybe it should be a baseball bat and a pole match.
yeah, not a torpedo bat though.
Yes.
Shout out to all the Yankee fans out there.
Yes.
Anyway, yes,
Yeah.
that's
I'm trying to picture like Robert Redford, like shirtless, wearing tights.
nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, all right. No, nobody wants to see this. I mean, even at that point, nobody wants
And
to
I
see this.
realize it's a stretch because he wasn't there at the actual event, but in the past we've done some stretches, and this was my one stretch as far as that goes.
Yeah, like I said, it's in the realm of I don't think he would ever do it, but who knows?
I can't imagine him, his agent coming to him and be like, "So, we got an idea."
You want to work, and this is where, well, Mr. T had worked by this point, and
Yeah.
the football players at WrestleMania too. So that's just keeping in the spirit.
Absolutely.
So my next match, I have a hair versus hair match as well, which there was one on the original card, one on your card, and I have Mean Gene Okerlund versus Howard the Fink Finkel.
That.
So easy one to set up. Finkel misses a show. Okerlund does the ring announcing. Everyone compliments on him, which makes Finkel mad. He locks Gene in a closet and does the backstage interviews to get back at him. They get into an argument, are making fun of each other for being bald. I'm not bald. You're bald. Cue ball. That type of thing. So you get a hair match between two bald guys who aren't wrestlers. And since Finkel would eventually shave his head and be completely bald, let's just say Finkel loses.
I think that the feud actually makes sense.
Yeah, see, I tried to make things make sense.
Yeah, I tried that as well, and you know, yeah, that makes sense, and yeah, that would not be good because when you think back, like the Harvey Whippleman, you know, Howard Finkel feud was also not good.
Yeah, and Gene did wrestle at one point. I think he tagged with Hogan
Yes, he did. But again,
against somebody.
I think didn't we talk about that with the Ventura matches? Or
I
no.
think so. Yeah, I think Ventura was. Yeah, it has something to do with Ventura. I don't remember.
All right. Well, my next match is King Kong Bundy versus the Junkyard Dog. This was just a match that I threw together because would it be entertaining? Maybe not, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't really have any. I mean, this is a feud you could easily set up. Junkyard Dog was popular. King Kong Bundy was made into a big villain because of his feud with Hogan. So my thought was, let's have another match with two guys that are really not in great shape.
Right, they're not in great shape, they're slow, they're big. Both would not be very motivated. Both probably wouldn't want a job to the other. So I think you would wind up with a sloppy, listless match. So that is and I was going to book Bundy versus a kid Haiti, or the Haitian kid, or Haiti kid.
Yeah.
I thought about that, but I did not. But yeah, that's not a good match. So my next match is, and this, I'm calling an audible here because this is my original idea, but I thought it was kind of a gimmick. But since we're kind of throwing that out, I'm gonna do my audible here. So we have a tag team match in which the WWF Intercontinental title is on the line. So we have Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and his pregnant wife, Bonnie.
Frank and White.
Yeah, so Bonnie was pregnant with Richie Steamboat at this time. And so I originally booked it was going to be Randy Savage versus Miss Elizabeth
Okay.
with Richie Steamboat, because Elizabeth, Jesse Ventura and other heels would say Elizabeth was a lousy manager. She never did
Yeah.
anything. So she wanted to do more. So Randy put her in charge of the match, and she put the wrong names in the wrong spot on the contract. And so that's why she had to wrestle Randy with Steamboat in her corner, and Jack Tunney wouldn't change it. But I love the idea of Bonnie Steamboat being like 6 months pregnant and she wins the IC title.
That all sorts of awful. Your other idea of Elizabeth writing the names down wrong, and Jack Tunney for some reason not changing it and demanding that she wrestle is also hilarious. Oh God, yeah, that
Yeah.
is all sorts of a bad idea.
Yeah, both are torn by. Because again, who do you give Randy Savage to that would suck? This was a very hard. That was hard for me to figure out too.
Well, it is
And then
hard now.
I came up with the tag idea, and then I was like, well, that's kind of a gimmick, but I'll make it be Elizabeth. But I still love the idea of pregnant Bonnie Steamboat trying to work
Oh, God. All right. My next match is a handicap match, Leonard. And
okay.
it is Dino Bravo versus the Haiti Kid and Lord Littlebrook.
You should have went with all the little people against Dino Bravo.
You said that earlier, and I was like, damn, that was a good idea. I was like, I don't want to copy a mid recording.
I mean, the handicap match is fine stuff, but it was 4-on-1 on Bravo. That would be even better.
That would be a good idea,
I mean,
absolutely.
Bravo was not a great worker in and of himself, and he was a power guy. And the fact that you got him against two little people he can toss around. Eh, but
Right.
still awful.
Absolutely. All right, Leonard.
All right, so my next match, this would have main evented at WrestleMania 10 years before. If they had WrestleMania in 1975, this would have been the main event. Andre the Giant versus Superstar Billy Graham.
Okay.
Because there's name value there, 100%.
Absolutely.
But at this point, Andre's health was degenerating fast. Yes, he had a good match against Hogan, but that was very planned out, and he was willing to work with Hogan. And Billy Graham was coming off of hip replacement surgery, and he would debut a little bit or re-debut a bit after WrestleMania 3. So I just kind of elevated the return here a bit. So you've got Andre the Giant against maybe the only active guy more broken down physically than he was at this point, guaranteed painful to watch and guaranteed painful for the guys wrestling each other.
You're right on both counts there. I mean, on paper, it's like, oh, that might have been cool. No, it would not have been
Now,
cool.
again, 75, that would have been probably a really good match.
Oh, man, that's a good one. See, I should have used more legends, but I was trying to use all active guys. All right, well, my next match is Ricky Steamboat versus Corporal Kirchner in a lumberjack match.
Okay.
How do you make it so that Ricky Steamboat is not really entertaining to watch? Make it a lumberjack match where you're not really paying attention to the guys in the ring as much as you are paying
Right.
attention to the guys around it.
Right. And Steamboat, being a guy who could go to the floor, will not be able to go to the floor.
Exactly.
And
So.
both those guys were faces, but I don't think it matters. And Kirchner wasn't a great talent, so.
Not until he became Leatherface, anyway.
Yes.
All right. How many you got,
So
Leonard?
I got one left. I'm up to my main event.
All right. Well, then let me do my. I have two left, so
Okay.
I'll do my.
Submain.
Right, exactly. So you had talked earlier about the Hart Foundation, how it was really hard to find
Yeah.
somebody to work with them. So what I did, I didn't think about like the people working with him as much as I thought about like how the match would look like to the crowd. So I have the Rougeau brothers versus the Hart Foundation in the Battle for Canadian Supremacy flag match for the tag team titles. You have two Canadian
So it's a Canadian flag versus a Canadian flag
flags. Okay. In Michigan.
in Michigan.
I don't think that the crowd would be into this storyline.
No.
You have two heel teams. And
Have the
yeah.
Rougeaus turned heel by 87 by this point in 87?
I guess I assumed so.
No, they were faces. I mean, they were faces, but nobody bought them as faces. Like
Okay.
they were supposed to be faces, kind of like the Honky Tonk Man. Like
Okay.
this was like that dude's a face, and the crowd went, "Nah, we're not buying it." So
Well, either way, you have
either I think the Rougeaus were the ones that would get booed in this one.
You're probably right. But flag match, those never look good, which is why you used one as well.
But right, exactly, yes. So here's my main event. If you have this for your main event, I will be extremely extremely surprised. So, WWF World Heavyweight Title, Hulk Hogan defending the belt against Bobby the Brain Heenan in a weasel suit match.
Holy shit. I do not have it as a weasel suit match, but that is my main event.
Because
Wow.
we're both thinking the same thing. You know,
Yeah.
Bobby, the real storyline, the real feud is Bobby Heenan versus Hulk Hogan.
How do you make it logical, you know?
He threw everybody at Hogan. You know, Orndorff, Race, Bundy, Hercules, John Studd, you know, everybody. So in my storyline, Hogan finally tells Heenan, "Hey, I've had enough of this. Why don't you just man up and face me in the ring?" And Heenan agrees to it. And he had done weasel suit matches in the past and weasel suit matches after this. And I like the visual of them showing like two weasel suits at ringside, one for Heenan and like a giant one for Hogan. And of course, somehow Hogan has to lose. So the final images of WrestleMania 3 is Hogan in a weasel suit with Heenan riding up the aisle in a ring cart with a world title held above his head.
I like that idea better. Mine is just a straight up match, and I didn't use Andre because my storyline for this was that Andre gets injured or is just too broken down, as you mentioned, to wrestle in this match. So Heenan's like, Heenan's got to do it. And Hogan's like, you know what? It's going to be you instead. And so even though the feud itself makes sense, the match would not look good.
No, not at all. I mean, Heenan could wrestle.
Absolutely.
And you know, he always said you wrestle like a manager and you manage like a wrestler. So of course he's not gonna be go against someone like Hogan too. You know, and then my original idea was I wanted to have a follow-up title versus title match between Miss Elizabeth and or now it would be Bonnie Steamboat and Bobby Heenan.
Bonnie Steamboat. Like, I still can't believe that you used.
So yeah, I mean I would say you know, you used more of the real talent. So I give you
Yeah.
credit for using more of the real talent. And coming up with bad ideas. I just looked at like who is laying around the back
Yeah.
you.
Like Vince is so desperate to put on matches, he just has to use all these random dudes.
Right. Maybe there was a plane crash, maybe it was a freak snowstorm.
A plane crash.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, but like I didn't use Dog, I didn't use Race, I didn't use Piper, Adonis. I didn't use any of those people. So, you know, something happened.
That's
Something happened. Maybe it was a mass walkout.
There you
Maybe
go. Yeah.
they all did. Maybe they all defected for the AWA.
That absolutely.
Vern ponied up some money and stole everybody.
And
Or
yeah,
Jim Crockett.
Vern made sure that WrestleMania 3 was going to be ruined.
Or Jim, imagine if Jim Crockett poached everybody. And he had just gotten the UWF talent from Bill Watts. That would be a stacked friggin' roster for the
Absolutely.
NWA.
I think it's hilarious that we had the same main event.
We had two of the same matches
Yeah.
with Steele and Kamala. So imagine we're both charged with making the worst WrestleMania 3 possible, and we both come up with two of the same matches, including the same main event.
It's, yeah, I
Now,
mean,
originally, I'll say this. Originally, I thought about doing Hogan versus Kamala, which would be bad because Hogan was working a house show program with Kamala.
I was going to say that happened, yeah.
Yeah. So, actually, if you notice on WrestleMania 3, Paul Orndorff and Kamala, who were both getting pushed on TV, didn't have matches. And it was because they were both held in reserve in case Andre didn't want to do business or
Oh.
wasn't physically able to, because Hogan had just got out of a feud with Orndorff and was doing the house show circuit with Kamala. So originally I was going to do Kamala, and then I was going to do your angle where Kamala got injured or something happened, and then Hogan was going to wrestle Kimchi,
Okay.
who was at one point Steve Lombardi. I'm not sure if Steve Lombardi was playing the character
Was
at
going to
this
use
point.
Steve Lombardi to make Hogan versus Kimchi in the main event.
That was my original idea, but the Heenan thing is too good. It's too
And it's
good.
revealed to be Jack Kruger underneath.
It's Jack Kruger again. Masks him and it's Jack Kruger twice.
Originally, I stumbled, and this would have been actually a good match, which is why I changed it. But I was like, oh, I was gonna have Steamboat versus Morocco in a Hawaiian street fight. And like, but they actually had a feud. And
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. I mean,
right.
Morocco at this point didn't care. You ever
Right.
see the match where Don Morocco like eats a sandwich?
Yeah, you've told me about it.
He just like wrestles like jobber ways eat a sandwich. Because he just doesn't care at this point. So a listless Morocco, but no, a Hawaiian street fight. I kind of like that. Just any
Yeah,
sort
right,
of,
exactly. I was going to use the Can-Am connection at one point, and I did.
They're too. There, I mean, Martel's better than Zinc, but yeah, I thought they were a little too good to be used.
Paul Roma was also on the roster, and I thought about using him. I even thought about like putting him and Orndorff together like 10 years too early. Like,
Nice.
but I didn't do that because it's like that's what I mean. My head kept going to things that might be interesting, you know.
Yes, at the least. And Jim Powers was around too. I don't think they were the Young Stallions yet, but they were the Young Stallions
Yeah.
shortly. Because I'm in, I think, in my prime time rewatch, I think I'm in July maybe. And there were they I think it was Demolition versus the Young Stallions, I think I just watched.
Oh yeah.
So they
Yeah,
were
I didn't
working
use
by that
Demolition
point.
either.
Yeah. And I don't know if he had returned yet, but Kim Potero would be a good one.
Oh yeah, you know, a couple of clips of him in the strongman competitions came across Facebook for me recently.
Because he had came back and was in got into a feud with Heenan because he was in jail, and I did
Right.
not remember this, but I was surprised they actually used that as a storyline that he was in jail, and he admitted to have done wrong, and but the feud was that Heenan dumped him, didn't visit him in prison, and didn't take care of his family like he said he would. So he's going after Heenan. So every episode of Primetime, Heenan's in the neck brace. Gorilla Monsoon's accusing him of gold bricking. So that's where I'm at in my rewatch of stuff from 87. But yeah, I think because I'm watching it, I know that they're like I knew all the jobbers that I could pull or all the low
That's a
card
great amount
guys.
of research right there.
Yeah, that
I
I could
applaud you
pull.
for that.
Which I was just doing that anyway. I was kind of a while back, I was like, I want some prime times. I'm like, I'm gonna start like January of 87. Because again, knowing it was going into WrestleMania 3, and it was like, as we said earlier, just the high water mark of the rock and wrestling era. So I thought that would be just a good place
Yeah.
to start watching. And yeah, some of the matches, I should send you a show I watched that was like without a question the worst card you could put together. I'll have to find that. It was like the worst episode ever of Primetime Wrestling. I'll have to find it and send it to
I'm
you.
curious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let us know what you thought of our rebooks, which one was worse. I would probably have to give the nod to Leonard simply for the Weasel Suit edition there at the end. I really like that. But both of our cards, I think, would have stunk up the Silver Dome.
All right, so our new tradition is we're going to do a trivia question out of the game box. And I believe it is Chad's turn.
Yep.
I'm just going to just pull one out here. So we have been doing the levels 3, 4, 5 because the first two are multiple choice. So question level 3 for you. What was the name of Coco Beware's pet bird?
Frankie.
Frankie is correct. And I always liked to refer him as Frankie Beware. Because I think occasionally they would call him Frankie Beware.
All that, we need to find a clip of that too.
Yes. In a record 4 consecutive main events at Madison Square Garden, Bob Backlund, and there's a trademark next to Bob Backlund. So how do you trademark his name? Defended the title against whom? So in 4 straight main events at Madison Square Garden, Bob Backlund defended the WWF World Heavyweight title against what opponent?
Was it Pat Patterson?
It was Pat Patterson. I'm surprised you knew that. I probably would have guessed Billy Graham. So, where was the tournament held to crown the first Intercontinental Champion?
Oh, that was in Puerto Rico, right?
No, it was going that direction. It was Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And there was, of course, it was never a tournament. They just said it was.
I knew it wasn't the continental US. That
Yes,
was all I
it was
remember.
outside.
Yeah.
Yes. And the celebrity of the week is Vince McMahon.
Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't
All
it
right.
be?
Now, do we want, we wanted me to do one?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Who was the first five-time Federation champion? So the first person to win the belt five times,
Okay.
I guess. Well, it says just Federation champion, so that would mean any belt, because it wouldn't have been, because Hogan was only three, would have been Bret Hart. No, Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan won the belt five times.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I should have went with my instincts, but I thought it was only four. Well, yeah, so he won it against Sheik. Then he won it against Savage. And then he won it against Slaughter and won it against Yoko. And I'm missing one.
He lost to Andre.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Okay. Who was the only competitor at WrestleMania who also appeared at the original 1985 event? Do they mean this year's WrestleMania? But I don't know what year this is from. I'll say Piper, because Piper was still making appearances at this point. It says Leilani Kai.
Okay.
Who's the only competitor at WrestleMania who also appeared at the original 1985 event? Okay, I don't know. Who did Randy Savage face in the opening round of the tournament at WrestleMania 4? Now that's a good question.
Oh,
I think it was, I want to say Butch Reed.
he was definitely on the list.
Butch Reed.
Yeah.
It was Butch Reed, and then I know it was One Man Gang, and I can't remember. He was the third round.
Valentine was, but was
Was
Valentine
Valentine was the
there?
second round? Valentine might have been the second round, though. And the celebrities of the week is Edge and Christian. So I have no idea what that Leilani Kai question was about.
That's an odd one, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't get that one. Well, anyway, that's our new tradition, and we'll keep doing that.
Absolutely. Yes, let us know what you thought of our cards. Check out our other episodes. Check out wherever you listen to podcasts. We can be found there as well. Please comment however you feel. Hit the like button, subscribe. Thank you very much for checking us out. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.